Blog Talk Radio.
This is Forbes Myers, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is March 26, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. Welcome, welcome. Tonight's guest, I have the most incredible actor, I think, yet on my show. I'm truly honored. James Reynolds, who portrays Abe Carver on Days of Our Lives. Please welcome James.
Hello, hello. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. It's just, you know, it's tournament time. I'm a huge basketball fan, so
I'm always
good this time of year.
Okay. I don't really follow basketball, but are your teams winning?
I'm a huge Kansas Jayhawk fan, and they play tomorrow night, so they're doing very well.
All right, good for you. Good. I wish I could say I get into sports. With two boys, you think I would, but I honestly don't. I just sit there and read.
but it's a true honor.
Yes, as long as you're there to support, right? Wear that shirt
exactly.
And the hat, and you're good to go.
Exactly.
It's a true honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you.
You've been you're such an icon in the daytime industry, and portraying Abe Carver, as I said, on Days of Our Lives. You were on Generations. Tell me a little bit about you, where you grew up, and how you made the transition from the Marines into acting.
Well, I grew up in a small town in Kansas called Oskaloosa. It's a little it's county seat, actually, but a farm town. About 800 people when I left. It's a little bit more than 1,000 now, and I go back there a lot. I'm still very connected to both the state and my hometown. But that's where I grew up, and I did go into the Marine Corps after high school before I went to college, and an experience that anyone will tell you once you've gone to the Marine Corps that never leaves you, that with you for the rest of your life, and it is absolutely the truth. And when I was discharged from the Marine Corps, started college, and that's where I found acting. I actually went to college with the intention of majoring in journalism. I'd been a writer in the Marine Corps, and I wanted to continue, and that's what I wanted to do, but a friend of mine talked me into auditioning for a play, and everything changed.
That's amazing. Now, let me ask you real quick, what made you decide that branch of service that you went into in the Marines?
Well, it's the best.
Okay.
I mean, it's simply that. It was simply that. You know, I loved reading history when I was young. I read a lot of history when I was actually very young. I always liked that, and the Marine Corps always stood out, and I toyed with the idea of going to the Naval Academy for a bit. Actually took the test for the academy, and but decided that I'd enlist after high school, and it turned out to be a good decision.
Oh, wow. So my uncle was in the Marines, and his son didn't follow his footsteps. He went into the Navy. So I was just wondering, why people choose those branches, and I don't know.
Well,
my son is toying with the idea also.
Oh, really? Well, the Marine Corps is legendary. You know, it's just, it is the best, and they are known for excellence, and they are known for being the world-class fighters is what the Marine Corps does, there's a great deal of pride that sticks with you throughout your life once you've served in the Marine Corps. It certainly doesn't teach you to be an independent thinker. It's not lockstep, and there's a lot that goes into having enlisted, and then of course, as they say, you're a Marine for life. You're never an ex-Marine. You're just a former Marine.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate it. I know. Let's move into now. You are the spokesperson for more than 131,000 volunteers serving the veterans at the VA facilities. So tell me how you got involved with that. I mean, I understand you were wounded, and that's what ended your service.
Well, no, not. I mean, that's not what ended my service, but and my wounds compared to most people were extremely slight.
Okay.
And but it did bring me home from Vietnam, and I was in the hospital for a little while. But becoming spokesperson for the VA, I was asked. I'm not sure why, but I'm glad I was.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been tremendous. It's been in the job now for a few months and been able to tour several hospitals. In fact, I go back to Washington in 2 weeks and will tour the hospital in Washington again, and also in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and meet with Secretary Shinseki, who I'm looking forward to meeting with him. He's a really astounding individual, and so I'm really looking forward to that.
And you do USO tours?
I do.
Hollywood Handshake Tour. Tell me about that.
Well, that started several years ago as well. I got a call from the USO and began to do what they call handshake tours. And every time somebody says, are you doing a USO tour, they think that I have a band and the Dallas
right.
Cowboy cheerleaders with me, but which would be nice, but that's not the case.
Right, right.
What we do is actually a little bit more personal. We interact with the troops. We talk to them, go into their whatever their daily job is, and we do that. We shake hands, we sign autographs, we pose for pictures. We talk to them about their own lives and their struggles and their joys, and it's really a great way to interact with these young men and women.
Right. And that's amazing that you do that, because I feel that sometimes the soldiers kind of get lost in the politics of it all, you know, whether you're for the war or against the war. You know, there's still people over there, you know, doing their jobs, what they signed up for, and they could care less which way you're thinking. They just want to be thought of.
Well, exactly. And you know, part of, at times when I have those conversations with them, I point that out, that unlike Vietnam, whether people are for or against the war, they support the warriors.
Right.
People support the troops. And, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20, sometimes they get lost and they forget that. And I feel it's necessary to remind them that they do have a great deal of support, regardless how people feel about the war. I certainly don't support the war in Iraq at all, but I support the troops very, very strongly.
Absolutely. Neither do I. But, you know, we're in the situation we're in. We can't turn our backs on them, you know. So, you know, be mad at who you want to be mad at, but don't be mad at them.
Exactly. These are our kids. They're as you said, your son is considering.
Yeah,
joining
he's toying with the idea. He's toying with the idea of the Navy, because my uncle gives him stories about the Marines, and my father was in the Army at the same time. Like, they went into different branches when they got out of school, and my father would tell him all these stories about the Army, and he's like, "Wow, you know, that sounds really easy. I think I'll go to the Army." And then my uncle would tell him these Marine stories. He's like, "Oh, I know I ain't going to that." You know, and then my cousin will tell him stories about the Navy, and it's like, oh, maybe I'll do that one. You know, so it's like, you know, each one of them have their own things. You know, the Army was fairly easy. The Marines, he said, forget about it. But, you know, these kids don't want to do anything if it's hard.
Well, if he goes to the Navy, he'll have a shower every day and very good food. So I can't guarantee him that in the Marine Corps or the Army.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, whatever he decides, you know. They're getting to that age.
Well, and it's also, I've got to tell you, I have found that for a large number of young men and women, it's a good decision. It comes at a time in their life when they're uncertain about what they want to do, and it gives them focus. And they, you know, they come out of that with a degree of focus and knowing what they want to do in life and where they want to go in life. And they, you know, even though they're in a military organization, they have to follow mm-hmm. orders and do what they're told. They get to grow and
right.
learn to become young men and women.
Yeah, I agree. And I started actually talking to my son about it when he was 15. He's going to be 17 soon. And he was undecided about what he wanted to do for his future. And I said, you know, you should really look into the service. Every male in my family was in the service. All my mother's brothers were in the Navy. My father's side was the Army and the Marines. But you should really look into it. You'd be able to do a lot of things you may not be able to do as a regular civilian. I said, I wish somebody would have schooled me, because when women were allowed to join the Army, Navy, whatever, I would have thought about doing something like that, you know, when I was that age. But no one ever told me about it. It was just like,
women,
it was always for men.
Women are a key part of the military now. It's just a very, very key part of the military. And it's a viable option for any young man or young woman.
Absolutely. Well, proud to say that you do that, and I'm proud to help promote that you do that and get the word out. And people should actually go, and they can sign up with their local veterans associations, right, to volunteer at hospitals and stuff like that?
They can. You know, it's a good thing to do. I was just reading I never remember what I'm reading, Time or Newsweek, but how volunteerism has really increased with the new administration, that people are really volunteering at much higher rates than they ever have, which is a wonderful thing. And the VA is a good place to volunteer. You're really helping people that need it a lot. You're, same as I said about the military. Often these are your fathers and uncles and brothers and sisters, the VA services a lot of people. And volunteers play a really huge part in what they do. And I think it's a good option for people that are looking for some place to volunteer and do something for their community.
I agree. And my uncle is actually a disabled war veteran, and he also does volunteer work for the hospitals now. You know, he's down in Florida out in Broward County. And he does volunteer work. Yeah.
That's
so,
great. Well, it's a good thing to do. I mean, I hope people volunteer wherever they feel comfortable, but the VA is certainly a good place to do it.
Absolutely. So let's dig into some of your soap roots. Abe Carver, he's been around a long time. What is your professional opinion about the state of daytime right now? I have to ask, with the big things that have been going on over there with Deidre Hall and Drake and all that, what's your opinion on that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I hate it. I just my
right?
opinion is I hate it. It's a sign of the times. I mean, it's certainly something that Days is not alone in suffering through this economic crisis, and it's something none of us are happy about at all. And you know, we don't like seeing our friends go out the door. There have also, I mean, the emphasis is on the names, and it's Drake and Deidre, but also Mary Beth and Stephen and Teo. But
right.
We've had a lot of people from our crew and production staff that the public
behind
doesn't
the scenes.
Know.
Right.
Several times that number of actors who have been let go from our current production staff, and they are friends as well. And so it's a difficult thing to say goodbye to people you've known and you've liked and you've worked with for year after year after year. And I think television as a whole, not just daytime television, but television as a whole, is going through a very trying time right now.
Yeah, it's definitely not just on NBC as well as the other networks, you know,
right.
also. So, okay, let's see here. I have a question for you from the chat room regarding your on-screen son being recently diagnosed with autism. But the story has just kind of meandered and not really been given the attention it deserved. How do you feel about that?
Well, I would like to see it get more attention, more intensity, and I'm hopeful that that will happen as the summer goes on, that story will be on the air a lot more and be much more intense. And I think it's important. It's a very important subject, and it's something that the network and the show are committed to. And as you know, Dana Higley's son, our head writer's son, also has autism, and so she's familiar with all the aspects of it. And there are many, not mm-hmm. just autism, but how it affects the family and friends, and so that's what we hope to bring out, the story of the effect of autism mm-hmm. on those who surround it.
Right. Okay. I have a caller. Would you like to take a phone call now?
Sure. Cool.
Let's go over here to area code 815. You're on the phone with the fabulous James Reynolds.
Hey, James. This is Jenna. What's up, Joanne?
Oh, hey. Turn down your radio, Jenna. I hear feedback.
Oh, can you turn down the radio, Daddy? I'm in the car outside of my friend's hotel right now. But I just called in to see what was going on, and I was listening to the storyline that you're pursuing at the moment about autism, and I work with kids that have that different ability. So it's kind of interesting that they're bringing it to daytime. I've been waiting to see something like that. So that's
great,
really cool.
Well, I actually
have cerebral palsy. It's a lot different than that, but it's still a different ability. So
right, and
interesting that they're tackling that. So.
Well, I admire you for the courage you show in tackling it, and you're out and about, so I can tell you're not letting it get you down, and that's wonderful.
Mhm. Well.
And it sounds like Jenna. It sounds like you're a listener of the show.
Yeah, I am. I know Joanne. We talk outside of the show.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's one of my favorites.
Well, that's good. And you say you're outside a hotel. Are you on vacation?
I'm actually sitting next to my friend's baby right now. But my dad was giving us a ride. We're going around looking for jobs and stuff right now. At the
moment,
well,
great. Well,
Janet just turned 18, James.
Yes,
oh,
I did. So.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you. And I have aspirations to come meet everyone in Hollywood. So.
Well, I hope you do. I hope you do. And you know, when you come to Hollywood, NBC has a we're still currently in our studios at Burbank, the NBC tours. So, and you go right by the Days of Our Lives studio, and you know, frequently we're out there going back and forth to the cafeteria or something, and.
Very cool. See, yeah. I'm not an actual Days watcher. My mom used to watch it when I was younger, but she kind of shied away from it, and she's not really a soap watcher anymore. But now that I know what's been going on with specific storylines at the moment, I think I'm going to start watching again.
I'm technically
an ABC listener and watcher, but I think I might be crossing over again, maybe.
Well, that's good. Well, tell her to crank up the VCR and start watching.
Absolutely. All right, Jenna.
All right. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks,
Jenna.
Bye-bye, Jenna.
You know, that's the thing about the soaps is that this past weekend, Bob Guinea hosted Rock the Soap. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's something that was put on by SoapNet where Bob Guinea picked I think there was like 15 to 20 daytime stars, and we all went on a carnival cruise to Mexico as a big fan event.
Yeah.
And actually, Brian DeTillo was supposed to be there, but he didn't show up because of his work schedule. So he's on my list right now because he was supposed to be there. Anyway, we all went. But the thing is that Bob Guinea is usually associated with, only with ABC soaps due to his wife, Rebecca Buttig and all that. But What he did was bring on all the other networks. And bringing on the other networks opened up the ABC people as well as the CBS and NBC watchers to each other's storylines. So when all of these passengers and fans got off the boat, they were all ready. I'm going to watch Dave. I'm going to watch Young and the Restless. I'm going to watch this now. So it kind of opened their eyes up to different storylines that they had no idea what was going on. So with Jenna calling in and hearing us talking about the autism, that kind of sparks it, and it'll just start spreading the word.
Well, that's
great. Keep daytime rolling.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great thing, and it's very helpful for us. You know, we're with NBC, we are the sole soap. So we don't have the advantage of some of the other networks with other soaps as lead-ins. So we really do rely on our fans, people that like our stories, and to continue to watch.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I have a question from a friend of mine, Brandon, who sometimes comes on the show with me. He hosts another show called Brandon's Buzz. He wants to know how it was working with 25 years ago, this is, with Marilyn McCoo as your love interest. I remember Marilyn McCoo.
Oh, sure, the Fifth Dimension. Oh, you know, Marilyn was a sweetheart. I was so thrilled to get a chance to work with her. I had been a fan of the Fifth Dimension myself as a young guy in college. So for me, it was a great thrill to work with her, and she was just a sweetheart. And I, you know, run into her. I haven't run into her for a few years, but every once in a while we would run into each other somewhere. And you know, it's another storyline I think that had some potential that didn't last long enough. I think she was on the show for about 6 months.
Right, right. Now, what about your early days working with Wayne Northrop and Peter Raquel?
Well, Wayne is just, Wayne's a joy to work with. He's a funny guy. He's a bright guy. He's a passionate guy. When he came back to the show a couple of years ago, it was just, I was just really happy about that. He's a wonderful guy. And, in fact, you remind me that I have to call him. Pete continues on the show, and we see, in fact, I just saw him yesterday, and we were talking about his new little baby, Loden, and, so, the term family is a little bit overused, but, the truth is we've grown up together. You know, we were all young men when we started that show, and now, we've been there and grown up together, and not just Wayne and Peter, but Josh and Drake and Teo and Deidre and Kristen and Renee. You know, there are 10 or 12 of us who have just matured and seen our families grow up, or in Peter's case, a family begin. So there's some special relationships there.
How do you feel, again, into technology side here, with that whole writer strike and demanding things because of the internet and how technology is changing stuff, how do you feel about iTunes and the internet and all the different new ways that Days and other soaps can be watched? Do you think it will ultimately help or hurt the show in the long run?
Well, it's inevitable. That's one thing. Technology... Mm-hmm. Technology comes, and you have to change, and you have to address it. And I certainly embrace. I'm kind of a techno geek in a way. I carry my iPhone with all the tunes from iTunes on it, and all of that sort of thing. So, you have to embrace it. It will certainly change shows in the way you watch them. I think we'll see on soap operas, we'll see scenes will be faster, they'll be shorter. You now have a lot of different ways of watching the show.
Right.
And you could watch, I think there are about 5 different streams for watching the show now. That obviously changes the way sponsors look at television.
Right.
You're going to see a lot more product placement. Product placement is going to be an integral part of no matter what the show is, no matter what the drama is. You know, Abe will look at his watch to see what's happening, what time it is, and if the investigation is going to be coordinated. And I assume you're going to see a close-up of that watch at some point. And because that watch has been sponsored by somebody. So it's going to change the structure of the show from that standpoint, absolutely. But, you know, 5 years from now, that's how people will have been watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be very comfortable with it. You know, always in the near term, people are a little comfortable, uncomfortable, and they criticize whatever the change is. But then we get used to change, and it becomes the way things are done. And then we don't like the next change. So that's what
exactly. You know, that's exactly how I look at it too. One way or another, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So just embrace it and do what you got to do with it. You can throw your little hissy fit, but it's still going to happen. You know, like my grandmother used to tell me, "Don't cry over something you can't change."
Well, you know, there's something practical about it as well. Every time you read those articles about leading a healthy life and a long life and all of that, one of those is rolling with the change. Just go with it. People that do, people that are easier about it, are people that are much more comfortable, much more relaxed, and live longer.
Right. You know what? You got something there. All right. Let's go to another caller, if you don't mind. Area code 571. This is Arlington, Virginia. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, this is Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hey, Brittany.
Say hi to James.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, wonderful. So you're right outside of Washington, huh?
Yeah, about a half hour.
Yeah, I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks. So make sure the weather's good, will you?
All right. Definitely try.
Okay. So have you been watching the show?
Yes, I'm a long-time viewer. I love the show.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Definitely. I was wondering how you felt after, you know, a few years not getting much love from the industry as far as the Emmys go. How you felt, you know, having 4 acting nominations and everything else last year. I was so excited for you guys.
Yeah, well, it's always tough for us, you know. I've been lucky personally to have been nominated for Emmys a couple times in the past, and our show last year really had several nominations. I'm hoping we have potential for 3 coming up this year, and I'm hoping that all 3 people get it, but we won't know for a little while. It's difficult. Yeah, we're kind of out there alone, and you know, we certainly would like that recognition as well as anyone else, and it's difficult. But we don't do this work necessarily for the Emmys, so we love what we do, and we continue to go out there and work hard to give you the best show we can.
Right on. Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for this year.
Well, thank you, and keep watching us. That's the best thing you can do is keep watching us.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Brittany. Days, I think, has one of the most loyal fan bases. My grandmother used to watch Days, my sister, all of them, and it was always, you know, we're not going to watch all my children because we're going to watch Days, but we'll be there to watch General Hospital. It was so funny growing up in that kind of household. It really was.
Mm-hmm. No, we do.
Okay.
We've got great fans.
You do. You really do. Okay. I wanted to ask you, we all rag on how soaps and daytime have changed for the worst, but you've been around long enough to see the best of times and the worst of times. How has daytime changed for the better in your point of view?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have seen a good deal of change in daytime. You know, I think we have actually maintained what we do. We come into your home every week. We try to create stories and create characters that you want in your home each week. I'm an avid reader. I read constantly. not a day goes by that I don't read for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it mostly, even though I read a lot of nonfiction and that sort of thing, but I do it in order to get carried away,
mm-hmm.
to take myself outside of what's going on every day. And that's the case, I think, with daytime. I think people watch daytime to remove themselves from their daily lives. And the best thing that we do is we continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, I had a chance to watch some of the old black and white soap operas, and,
okay.
Including a couple of Days of Our Lives episodes. And it's interesting. I mean, we certainly in style are much different than they were then. I mean, they were very much the soap opera, and it was slow moving and huge pauses and all of that sort of thing that we really don't do anymore. Mm-hmm. But the essence of what we do is to create stories and characters that you really want to see and you really want to be around.
Now, what is your favorite storyline on Days that you've done over the years?
Oh, my goodness. That's a hard one to answer. I have several. One of them certainly would be finding out that Abe has a son, Brandon, with Faye. When that story went on, that was a story that was actually front burner for a couple of years with mm-hmm. Matt Cedeno, who was wonderful as Brandon, and Dolly Wildman as Faye, and causing Abe and Lexi all sorts of problems. And so that was a tremendous story, and I really enjoyed that.
Mm. Generations, how did that part come to you? Because that was first before Days.
Yeah.
It was kind of...
Actually after Days. I've been on Days for about 9 years. Yeah, that was in the
How
early
did that
90s.
Come apart? Oh, okay,
well,
okay.
I was offered that role. Torian Block, who I know actually very well, very nice man, had played that role, and there was a decision to recast it, and I got a call from the producers at Generations that they would like me to do that role, and NBC also. And at that time, I was on the verge of leaving Days anyway. Abe's role had diminished to the point where it just wasn't that interesting to do anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I was toying with the idea of leaving the show at the end of my contract. This wasn't at the end of my contract, but I think because NBC had asked for me and the producers had agreed that Abe wasn't as involved as certainly I would like, I went over to Generations with the blessing from Days of Our Lives, from the producers of the show, who I remember Al Raven saying, you know, no bridges are burned here, and they proved
okay.
that a couple of years later when the show was canceled and called me and asked me if I'd like to come back.
And you were working with the fabulous Debbie Morgan as your daughter.
Absolutely.
And Dorothy Lyman, a young Christoph St. John. Were you devastated
mm-hmm.
when that show was taken off the air? There were rumors circulating that the producers were actively seeking to revive it on another channel.
Well, they were.
Did you know anything about that?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, a lot of things are going on to try to save that show and to try to move it to another channel, and of course this is pre-cable and pre-internet, so there weren't as many opportunities for the show to
right.
go somewhere as there would be now.
Right.
At the time the show was canceled, it was pretty controversial when it was canceled. And
right.
at the time the show was canceled, its ratings were very high. It was far from the lowest rated show. And it was a joy to work on, just a joy to work on. And you can see of all the established stars who were on that show at the time,
right.
as you say, Debbie Morgan and Joan Pringle and, Jonelle Allen and all of those people. And then the people who became stars, Christoph, who is wonderful and a guy I like a lot.
Right.
And Vivica Fox, Kelly Rutherford, Robert Torti. I mean, the list goes on and on. Maybe more than any other soap, truthfully.
Yeah.
And,
now, do you think that soap would hold its ground in this time?
I think that soap would actually probably be one of the two or three highest rated shows in this time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very contemporary show. I mean, it was a soap opera. And
right,
it's been
right.
True to soap opera principles, but it was a show that moved along, had really really fascinating characters, and I thought Sally Sussman's writing was wonderful.
Wow. Now let me ask you a question here. I want to know why this has not made it into the Guinness Book of World Records, but as far as everyone knows, that you may have logged more total hours on television than any other African-American actor in the United States since 1981?
Well, that may be true. I know what is true, that I've played one single character, longer than any other African-American actor in the history of television, period. And I was told once that one of the reasons is that the Guinness people don't do ethnically based records.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably the reason. But I'm very happy to know that I've been behind a character that has an African American character that's been on the air longer than any other.
Well, at least we know it. Forget about Guinness. We got a Stardust Radio book here. We'll just log it in there. So you're in there.
All right.
You're in there for the books. Forget about Guinness. We don't need Guinness.
We don't need them.
What are they there for, honestly? Like, who cares? We know how accomplished you are. That's all that counts.
Well,
your fans know.
Well,
that's all that counts.
Well, that is what counts. So I'm
exactly.
I'm happy.
Good. Well, I have another caller here. We have Tony from Chicago. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Say hi to James.
There you go. Hey, James. How are you?
Hey, Tony. How's it going?
How's going
Chicago,
all right.
How's Chicago doing? How's Chicago doing here?
Oh, we're doing good tonight. The weather's great tonight for a change.
Oh, I know. Chicago weather is a pretty interesting thing.
Wow. We had 70 degrees one day, and then back in the 40s. Now we ended up back in the 40s the next day, you know?
It is.
Crazy.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've been in California now for many years, but I grew up in Kansas and went to college back there. And I've been to Chicago a few times, and I know Chicago pretty well. But my wife is a Californian, and I'm a newsaholic anyway. I'm always watching the news. And when the weather comes on, she always wonders, why are you watching the weather? You know, it's California. It's going to be the same thing. I said, yeah, but, you know, when you grow up in the Midwest, the weather is an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know what it's going to be like the next day.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
We always joke around with Tony. He's the weatherman. We always tell him that. We tell him that all the time. When we want to know what the weather is, we always ask Tony.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, it is. It's an important
thing. He always will be on the spot for that, James. I'll tell you, I never will let this down, brother. I'll tell you that.
That's great.
Well, anyway, let's get off of that, and I want to talk to some stuff about Dave. You talked about some of your more interesting storylines back in the day. What about the Salem Stalker one back in the day? That was my first story. Yeah, what?
That was the first one. That was I came on the show this in 1981. I came on the show actually about a month and a half before Wayne Northrup, who was Roman. We were meant to come as a tandem. We were cast as a tandem in a lot of ways. Abe and Roman were to be together.
Right.
We were to be brought on the show, but Abe preceded Roman by just a little bit. And the Salem Stalker was our first story. And I don't know if you remember when Roman came on the show, he's sleeping on the floor of Marlena's apartment in order to protect her. Mm-hmm. And somebody sent me a YouTube of one of those scenes not too long ago, as a matter of fact, which was interesting to see all of us that young. But no, the Salem Stalker was a great story. It was a fantastic story, and that was the first one. Jack Coleman ultimately was the Salem Stalker, and now he's a hero.
Now he's on Heroes, playing HR on Heroes, and he's trying to save the rebels right now. And
right.
Yeah, it's cool. And also is another one that you I forgot what it was about the charities that you do all season. You have charity basketball things every season for main charities. What is one of the main charities that you usually do for?
Well, you speak of the basketball game. We're going to do it again this spring on May 29th, Friday night, May 29th at South Pasadena High School in California. So if any of you want to come out here and see that game, this will be the 20th year for that basketball game. So we're very excited about that, and I hope to try to get some people from the past who have been on days, some of your old favorites, to come out and be in the in that game or at that game this year. I've done a lot of work for charities over the years, and it's very, very important to me. Certainly the USO trips that I've taken the last several years have gotten a great deal of notice. People don't realize that the USO is not part of the government. The USO is a nonprofit. It's a charity.
Right.
And it's a 501c3, so if you were looking for donations, the USO certainly is a deserving place to go. But, I've worked with and for, literally hundreds of charities over the last several years.
Yeah, I know you and some of your castmates are very passionate about some of the charities, especially among others. So,
yeah.
You guys are doing good work as well as everybody else, and they're doing great work as well.
Well, you know, hello, am I still here?
Yeah, honey, you're
okay.
There.
Okay, sir.
Okay, another voice came on the air there for a moment.
Oh.
Something about being in the haste queue. I don't know what that is.
That's the lovely British blog talk lady. Sometimes she just pops on for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, she's a pet.
Well, that's I had no idea what she was talking about, but yeah, it's important to us to do that. I mean, some people call it giving back, but I think I don't think it is. I think it's more just our responsibility as citizens, and the fact that we have a little bit more visibility than a lot of people, and sometimes we can attract people to events and to charities that other people have more difficulty attracting people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Soap Stars, you know, and I say it 100 times if I say it once, Soap Stars have the most loyal fans. It's just a fact.
Well,
they have the largest fan base next to NASCAR racing. Realize how huge, I mean, that's true. NASCAR is so huge, and then the next step down is Soap Stars. That's what it is. I forget who told me that, but I was really shocked by it. I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, wow. You guys really, really can draw crowds.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And,
it's like you said, you're in everybody's living rooms every day. You tell a story, and we do use you, in a sense, as an escape from our own realities. I started getting back into. I watched all the time when I was a kid with my mom, my grandmother, and it used to be like a family thing, you know. The girls would always watch with their mothers and their grandmothers, and then, you know, once you get up and you're out in the world, you go to work or whatever. I started getting back into them. I just happened to be sick. I was in the hospital getting chemotherapy, so I had nothing to do but watch TV, so I got back into my soaps. So Soap Stars, the storylines brought me out of my reality into theirs, and it made it all better for me, you know. So that's my affection for soaps, you know. So it definitely, you guys definitely serve a purpose here, and we love you for it.
I double that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I've heard that story a lot from a lot of different people that watching the show has really helped people get through some difficult times.
It does. It really, really does.
Oh, absolutely.
Being able to watch it has helped them a lot. And so, you know, that's pretty exciting to be part of something that makes people feel better.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, I literally went through almost 4 years of chemotherapy and a bone marrow transplant. And if it wasn't for my silks keeping me sane, I don't know what I would have did. I would have been climbing the walls. I mean, I had to have my silks fixed. Yeah, I'm doing great now, you know, and that's why I started this radio show, because this is like a way for me to kind of give back in a sense, you know, and I let the fans call in and they get to connect and tell their stories. And, you know, it makes me happy to know that so-and-so got to talk to James Reynolds for her birthday. You know, you'll get emails about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know what I mean? It makes you really happy to do stuff like that. And you meet a lot of great people. I've met so many other Silk fans just through the internet, you know, that I connect with. And I've actually went out and met at different events. And it's turned into a job for me, you know. So it definitely served a purpose for me. You know, I was meant to do this. So that's what I'm here doing.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I can tell you really have a passion about it.
Yeah, and it's not just soaps. It's all types of entertainment, you know. If I can bring someone closer to their favorite, then I will move heaven and earth to do that. And, you know, like on this cruise that we went on last week, I met so many of the people that listened to the show. And they were like, Joanne, you know, the fact that you got me to talk to Bobby Eakes was just, like, incredible. And and it was the best birthday present I ever had. And, you know, then I have, like, well, can I take a picture with you? And I'm like, are you kidding me? For real. You want to, like, I'm on the other end of a phone, honey. I'm nobody. Like, but they're like, no, you really did this for me. And it really does make you feel good. So I love doing this stuff. I love it to death.
Yeah, it does. And it makes you feel good. And, I you know, I've had even a couple of people that I've met have said, oh, you know, you actually healed me. You made me feel so much better just by saying hi or an embrace or something of that sort. And that's a great feeling.
It is. It is. You're also involved in stage work, you and your wife, right?
Yes, yes. We have a
Tell me about that.
We have a theater called the Fremont Center Theater, and it's also in South Pasadena. So when people come to the basketball game, just go down the other end of the street and you'll see from the high school and you'll see our theater. This is our 11th year with the Fremont. And it's just been it's been a great experience. I came from the theater, and this is, I guess the fifth or sixth theater that I've had the good fortune of running. Since I was a real, really young man. And we're very lucky. We've gotten wonderful notices from the critics and also from the audiences. And even in the middle of this recession, we still seem to be fortunate enough that the audiences are finding our plays and coming to our theater. And we're very happy about that. And, you know, we've had a number of members of the cast of Days have appeared on our stage, and a lot of other very, very well-known people have appeared on our stage. So, I hope to see more Days fans. I've actually, I guess if there's one disappointment, is I don't see enough come there.
Really?
We'd love to see them come out to the theater.
Well, I'm going to get that information from you about the theater and the address and all that, and I will make sure it gets posted in all of the message boards, and I'll have everyone working on that for you just so it gets circulated, as well as the charity basketball game. If you have more, email me, like everything. I'll put it all out in a big mass email to everyone on my mailing list, and I'll have them doing the same thing. Absolutely.
That would be great. I'm sure she will. Yeah, we're just thrilled with what has happened in theater, we've got some exciting stuff coming up. Ray Bradbury has made us his home as well, and he shares our space for about half the year. So, you know, that's wonderful to have a legend, a Pulitzer Prize winner, as our sharing our stage with us.
I'm telling you, look, James, it's been incredible having you on the show. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm saying to myself, I'm dying in the back of my head because I'm a little starstruck. I have to say that. So forgive me if I sound a little weirded out. I am a little starstruck right now with you. So forgive me if I gust.
Thank you.
Send me all that information via Lori, and I will get it out to everyone I know that runs a Days Forum, and we'll try and get you as many Days people out there into California as we can to support your theater, and of course continue to support Days of Our Lives. You know, like we said, the Days is there for us. ABC, NBC, CBS, daytime is what we do here, and we'll always be firm supporters of you, and congratulations also on the veterans work, and I'll put those links up for the VA hospitals in everyone's local areas so that they can see that. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, we're all about promoting you guys, and whatever you guys need to get out there to the soap fans, that's what we're here for. You know, it's just such a big it's a small community but a big fan base.
And I tell you, the death of soap operas, I think, is greatly exaggerated. I think 100 years from now, you'll still be there will be soap operas, and they'll be in a lot of different places, but they'll continue to be going on there. They've been with us for hundreds of years, and they'll continue.
Exactly. Oh gosh, I know. Well, before I let you go, can I get you to do a promo for the show?
Sure, absolutely.
You could just say, you know, anything with your name in it and Stardish Radio, and I'll be happy. I'm recording whenever you're ready.
All right. Well, hello. This is James Reynolds from Days of Our Lives, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Wonderful. Well, James, again, thank you so much. The chat room is saying thank you, and you're welcome back anytime. Anything you got going on, make sure you let me know about it.
Well, thank you. This has been great, and I really appreciate it, Joanne, and it's been a lot of fun.
Anytime, James. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care of yourself, and tell
you
everyone else that give them all a big hug.
I certainly will, and they hear you, and they're saying, thanks, James. Good night.
Okay. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, the fabulous James Reynolds. Yes, I actually was starstruck. I know. I'm weirded out. How can you believe that? Joanne starstruck. Tony, thanks for calling in. That was great. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, when we had James Reynolds on the show, and I always am a big fan of Dave's, and I always say, hey, Abe Carver's going to be on. Say, I can't miss this. No way.
Yeah, I mean, it is somewhat of a starstruck moment there, you know. And you know that I'm not an avid Days watcher, but you know what? How do you not know who he is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just
That's
one
true.
Of those people.
That's so true. Maybe hotter than Brian DeTillio, the one you had.
Oh, yeah, he's got it, boy. I'm going to kick his ass. He didn't show up on that cruise. I don't know what was up with him. And he was all set forth to go, but no, he had to work. So he was actually on Bonnie Hunt yesterday. He surprised the Bonnie Hunt winners on the cruise yesterday. So
yeah, and I also heard Rebecca didn't make it either.
Well, she was there, but she came on board, but she couldn't stay for the cruise itself. She nailed a job with How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah. Recurring role.
Yeah, and the girl's name is Holly that she'll be playing. And so we're crossing our fingers for her. She's going to be on, I think, towards the end of the season. So we'll definitely be crossing our fingers for Rebecca to have a permanent position there.
Oh, no,
and,
of course. Yeah, she's supposed to be playing Ted's love interest, I think. And it poses tie into the story of the iteration of how they met. So it could be Ted's love that he has.
Right. So, and Kelly Monaco couldn't make it because of her commitment to the Vegas Peep Show.
But you still had a great time, right?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, you know what? I don't think there was anyone there that can say they honestly did not have a good time. Honestly. The concerts were incredible. The divas were unbelievable. just meeting and greeting with people that listen to the show, and it was just fabulous. And we're going to do a post show on April 3rd, so we're working on to get some of the stars to call in, you know, that were on the cruise. I'm not sure who yet, but we'll see who's available.
April 3rd, that's very ironic. Well, that's like 2 days after your one-year anniversary and on my birthday.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Tony's birthday is April 3rd. And, yes, April 1st is Stardust Radio's first birthday. So we're going to have a party. We're going to party. I have some calls out to some people to come on. So I'm just waiting to hear back from them. And if they can't, due to commitments, no big deal. We're just going to come back and share stories. I want to know who's favorite moments were, what your favorite shows were. So get your asses back into the archives and go back in here and start listening all over again.
For me, it'll be amazing.
Bring them to me. Bring me your favorites. So we'll go over all that. And let's see. What else do I have going on? Oh, May 6th, I said the cast of Manhattan Nights is going to be on the show. That show's at 9:30. So Manhattan Nights is definitely going out on DVD on May 6th. So make sure that when it comes out, you go to iTunes or Amazon.com and pick it up.
Yep.
And director Fido Xavier from General Hospital will be with me on the 2nd of April.
Ooh.
So we'll be talking to him about directing General Hospital, how it's working with the cast, and get some stuff out of him. Who knows?
get some background info, back behind the scenes stuff that's happening.
Maybe not. We'll see what happens, but it'll be pretty cool to have him on there.
Oh yeah.
And, I think that's it for right now. I'm working on some stuff, and I'll keep you posted. The website is a little out of date. I haven't been around much, so just be patient. By April 1st, everything will be back up, rocking and rolling, and hopefully with a new look and getting some stuff together. So
you only keep going through so much, Joanne. You know what I mean? You only do so much.
I know, right? But in the meantime, I'm still nursing this daggone cold, so I'm about to sign off.
Yeah, do that.
It's bad. So, I'm about to sign off. And let's see. Do I have another show tomorrow? What's today? No, I don't have another show tomorrow. So, good. Okay, next week. If there's anything, I'm completely turned around. I'm still on, like, Mexico or California time. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am, seriously. So, but in the meantime, everyone, just keep your Facebooks up and keep on the lookout for some stuff. I'll be sending some stuff out as soon as it develops.
No question.
Okay.
No question,
anyway, have a good night, everyone, and I'll talk to you all next week.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care, y'all.
Okay, Twilighters, are we ready? He is all of 17.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, 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 yeah.
This is Matthew Borlenghi, and I have been talking to you on Stardish Radio, the only radio as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.
Hi, this is John J. York, Max Torpio from General Hospital, and you are listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
All right. This is Ignacio Sorricio on Stardish Radio. Stay tuned. And now we got to do the Spanish version. That's great.
Wait, how do you say it in Spanish? Okay, gotcha. I'm just kidding.
Para toda mi gente latina, hispana, esto es Stardust Radio. Acá Ignacio Cerrillo, les mando un abrazo. Cuídense, que Dios los bendiga. Chao.
Hi, this is Eileen Christian, and you're listening to Stardust Radio. So tune in.
Stop being lazy.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tony Marshall Crane, guest co-host, and Edge with the station. This is your wake up call. Get your butt in the hole and escape from that bitch.
Good night. And we're out.